Fantasy meets reality to create the game we've come to know and love. Here now with his analysis of the players affecting your teams around the world is Dan Tortora in Fantasy Football Friday.
Fantasy Football Friday, how I love it. It is like a Christmas gift that keeps on giving. Back here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. And, you know, I guess Fantasy Football Friday has two Santas because there's two people trying to give you as much as we can. If you've been good, if you've been on the naughty list, then we're going to tell you to play all your Cleveland Browns. We're going to tell you to put Robert Griffin III out there and that Johnny Manziel will be a starting quarterback as of next week. But we're not Grinches. We're good people. Mike Sofka, Central Orlando. Dan Tortora, Central New York. Florida's my second home. It all comes together on Fantasy Football Friday. The man is a good man, and I got to welcome him in, as I always do, by saying very nice things about him, even though he secretly talks about me behind my back. Mike Sofka, how are you doing today, brother?
Awesome. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And I was kidding about you talking behind my back. I better not find that out. I'm Italian and Spanish. They'll never find your body. It'll never be found.
Yeah, I wouldn't let you find out. Don't worry.
All right. Very nice. Appreciate it, Mike. Such a sweet man you are. So, very happy to be here with Fantasy Football Friday, and we are going through everything of Week 14. I think it's safe to say that most of you are in your playoffs now. You are rounding your team up and setting up your in playoff formation, so to speak. And the first game affecting you this week was the game that happened yesterday, which was when Oakland traveled to Kansas City, where I can openly admit that I know they're in the same division of the AFC West, but I never knew that the, or pardon me, not AFC, yeah, I'm correct, AFC West. Oh, my Lord, I'm just losing my mind. So, Oakland and Kansas City, I never knew that the fans, you Kansas City and Oakland fans, how much you dislike each other with a crazy amount of passion. I mean, I knew that this was a division rivalry, but I did not know how etched in history some of this negativity was between each other. Mike, did you know that? Are you around Kansas City and Oakland? I have a good friend that's a Kansas City fan and a pretty good friend that's an Oakland fan. And, you know, they're very nice people, very respectful. But there's a heated negative, like, I hope your mother dies in a train accident. I mean, these Kansas City, Oakland fans, they're ruthless against each other.
Yeah, well, that's what makes it fun. It's a rivalry. Usually, if one team is up and one team is down, you can always throw the records out the book. It usually doesn't matter where they're playing. None of those things usually matter because it's such a passionate game for a long time. It's usually a barn burner. It's usually close, even if one side is supposed to blow out the other. And you saw KC come around last night, whereas their defense and special teams has been fine-tuned. They've been getting some injured players back. And Eric Berry, what an athlete. And on offense, you know, they finally found somebody that can stretch the field. Tyreek Hill, the fastest guy in the NFL. And he's deadly on special teams as well. So what a dynamic player to have. Spencer Ware hasn't skipped the beat from where they need to be, running the ball, even with or without a Jamaal Charles. He's been dinged up for the past 2 years, so they just seem to be putting it together. They got a great tight end, they got a quarterback who's capable of managing the game, and they got an excellent coach, passionate fan base. You can't go wrong if you're KC, and if you're Oakland, look at the year Oakland's had. If they could just get some of that defensive secondary woes, if they can get some of that corrected, they're still going to be a formidable opponent. They got a great coach. They got great offensive talent. They just need to stop somebody.
Well, how about this, though? Oakland, 10-3, leading the division going into the game. Kansas City, though. Kansas City was right behind Oakland in the divisional standings of the AFC West. They beat Oakland in this game, but they beat Oakland twice now. Both teams are 10-3, but Kansas City holds a two-game tiebreaker. It's not 1-1. It wasn't a split series. Kansas City's beaten Oakland twice, and Oakland only has 3 losses the entire season. Two of those, 2/3, 67%. coming from Kansas City. So if they end the season like they are right now with the same record, Kansas City is going to win the division. So they definitely, this is a chokehold right here that they were able to hold on to. And I think that that's a big statement in reality. In fantasy, Alex Smith is Alex Smith. He was quiet. Derek Carr was relatively quiet as well. Latavius Murray looks more like himself right now. Sharkhandrick West finally scored a touchdown, and I didn't play him, so fitting. Amari Cooper has continued to be very quiet. Travis Kelce, I did play him. He went to work, 101 yards on five catches. Tyreek Hill, as Mike said, has just been very good fantasy-wise. He has a touchdown in this game, the only touchdown offensively for Kansas City through the air. The other one was Sharkhandrick on the ground. So some big moments here, 21-13. Any notes you want to make, Mike, fantasy-wise, outside of Carr and Smith? Carr not looking like himself. Smith did look like himself. And then Latavius and Spencer doing pretty well. Sharkhandrick shocking a little. And Kelce and Tyreek Hill did what they do. Amari Cooper has continued to be quiet. Is there anything that I didn't mention that is worth mentioning fantasy-wise?
Well, yeah, the one big thing is the coaching. You know, you're going to continue to see these coaches love to play with the hot hand. So Tyreek Hill, we talked about him in the past before he was anybody. And now, you know, he's exploded on the scene. So they're going to continue to try to stretch the field on people. And that's all coaching. So sometimes it's not just the player. Sometimes you got to look at the dynamic around the player. You know, you take a look on the other side of the ball. They're not going to stop throwing a ball to Amari Cooper, even though Amari Cooper's been, you know, not having Amari Cooper-type numbers. He's come down to earth a little bit. And, you know, they're going to keep throwing him the ball, though, because that's what they do. So the coaching is critical, and you got to understand the dynamic of who's around people sometimes to be successful in fantasy. Even though, you know, you can't go chasing numbers. You can't go the other way. You can't go to a guy who blew up out of nowhere last week, then you run to pick him up. Well, there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. So, again, the coaching is a dynamic that you want to look at in both of these situations. The offensive players or the fantasy scorers are going to do well from both teams for the rest of the year here.
And as we look forward here in Fantasy Football Friday, proudly provided by Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, 214 West Water Street. God bless you. We had a sneeze here. 214 West Water Street in Syracuse, New York, right next to Clinton Square. You go ice skating, you look at the Christmas tree, and then you walk right down to Saltine Warrior Sports Pub right there to get some free hot chocolate courtesy of John Shaheen and his amazing team at Saltine Warrior. It is the home of every single sporting event, Syracuse basketball, men's, women's, whatever it may be, whatever's on television, to every NFL game that you can watch. It is, and of course, the bowl season with 41 bowls and 42 games, including the championship game. Your home for all of that is Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, 214 West Water Street in Syracuse, New York. Great food, great people, great atmosphere, and bigger booths than I've seen in any place in Central New York my entire life. And of course, it's orange and blue for fans that love the Florida Gators in Syracuse. I'm kidding. It's Syracuse. Obviously, it's Syracuse orange and blue. So I learned very quickly, if I wore anything orange and blue in the state of Florida, if I had an orange and blue tie on, they said, oh, well, you're a Gator fan. And I said, what is it? How does that make it? They said, well, if you're not in the state confines of New York and you come to Florida, you're a Gator fan. And I said, you know, hold the horses here on this. First of all, I'm impartial as a broadcaster. Second of all, I didn't know that it immediately made you a Gator fan, but Mike Sofka is a Gator fan. So, Mike, yeah, I guess I got to ask you this really quick, though. Alabama, Florida, 54-16. Did you have any hope in that? I know the game started out okay, but how do you take being in the SEC with such a power that is Alabama? And Florida didn't have a bad year, but my Lord, I mean, what can you take away from that situation?
Well, if I was a casual fan, I look at the, you know, last couple games that Florida's played and think they're no good. But, you know, if you look at the dynamics of the game, if you look at how the game unraveled, you know, the Gator defense didn't do a bad job. They gave up, you know, a pick six. They gave up some special teams plays. They, you know, they didn't really, I mean, if you look at the actual stats quarter by quarter, they actually, you know, dominated Alabama in offense, which is hard to say because Florida doesn't have an offense. And, well, you know, Alabama has a great defense, but they did do that. And Alabama's defense has been suspect. You know, I'm not, you know, saying sour grapes here. I like Alabama. They're a great team. You know, they're from the SEC. I wish them well. But the realist in me says that they have a dynamic offense and defense and special teams, but their offense, if they run into a team with a decent defense, they could be in trouble. You know, they were fortunate they were playing a team like Florida who was capable of giving them the game, you know, and then there was some pile-on points at the end there as well. But, you know, it is what it is. Florida's heading in the right direction, and I'm proud to be a Gator fan.
Oh, that coming from Mike Sofka. Proud to be a Gator fan in a very, very tough SEC. Tennessee had themselves a good season this year, too, so far, so congrats to them. Staying with fantasy football in Fantasy Football Friday, proudly provided by Saltine Warrior Sports Pub in Syracuse, New York, downtown on 214 West Water Street. It is time for us to get into those games that are on Sunday and Monday, and we'll start with the Steelers at the Bills, and I have an inkling that Mike Sofka is going to tell you that after Landry Jones's phenomenal one carry for negative 1 yard performance, I think he's going to tell you should play Landry Jones, the backup quarterback for Pittsburgh. Am I correct, Mike?
Only if you're playing against me in the first round of the playoffs.
There you go. See, I didn't lie. I didn't lie because you did say to play if they were playing you. So somewhere, some way, I told the truth in that statement.
Yeah, I think if you have a Steeler on your team, he's definitely been a top player for you all year, and you're definitely going to play him. You know, I think AB is the number one receiver in the league. I think Le'Veon Bell's, you know, a top running back. I got him ranked number two this week. I got Ben Roethlisberger, QB1 this week, and Ladarius Green coming out of nowhere. And I don't consider this chasing points. We've seen him before in the past. He's finally on the healthy side here. And on the other side of the ball, LeSean McCoy, that's definitely an RB1. Tyrod Taylor's going to get you some points in the ground and on the air. He's a QB2. But I don't know who they're throwing the ball to. That's the problem there in Buffalo. Everybody's dinged up. Everybody's hurt. It looks like Watkins is on the way back. But, you know, I don't know who else they're throwing the ball to. Maybe a Charles play. If you have Steelers, play Steelers. This one, even though it's in Buffalo and even though it's going to be blustery and the weather's going to affect a lot of fantasy points this weekend, that big storm we got coming across the whole U.S. is going to affect a lot of fantasy scoring. So definitely check weather as well. But the big thing is I think the Steelers just got too much offense for Buffalo in this one.
Yeah, the Steelers in this game, I mean, it's going to be a big game for Buffalo, because fans are going to be excited and there's going to be a bunch of butts in the seats, but there's going to be a lot of terrible towels spinning in Buffalo. And whether Buffalo fans like it or not, it's going to happen. I mean, it's going to be a big game. I think it's going to be a very heated game in the stands, so everybody be nice to one another. On the field, I think the heat comes from Pittsburgh. I like, obviously, Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. Ladarius Green's had himself a pretty nice time right now, so I wouldn't go away from him. He's finally healthy. He finally looks good. So, you know, I like that. As far as the Bills go in this game, LeSean McCoy is a thought. Mike Gillisley, you know, good enough to go. He's been in and out of things, so obviously that's important. And to think about the likes of Sammy Watkins, just to go on the injury report really quick here, Sammy is still questionable. Robert Woods is questionable after missing the last two games. And as far as the Steelers go, to give you a quick note on Pittsburgh, there really isn't much of anything to be concerned about. D'Angelo's been upgraded to questionable, but Le'Veon's going to get, obviously, the carries in this game. And Darius Heyward-Bey has been upgraded to questionable as well. So, you know, really, I lean on the Steelers for this one. And on the other side of it with the Buffalo Bills, I would look at Mike Gillisley and LeSean McCoy, potentially Sammy Watkins, if you got to put him in there. But I'm expecting good numbers from Le'Veon Bell and Ben Roethlisberger as well, namely Le'Veon Bell. I think he'll, you know, the Jaguars ran well on Jacksonville or on Buffalo, and, you know, let's face it, Pittsburgh's rushing attack is going to push you a little bit more at this point right now. So, you know, if Jacksonville could do it, I think Pittsburgh could do it in a big way on the road, just like Jacksonville was in Buffalo. Broncos at the Titans. What do you think about this one, Mike?
Well, think the Broncos have been in trouble. We want to look to make sure Trevor Siemian is, going to be playing this week, make sure he's a full participant in practice, because the past couple weeks, their total offense production has been knocked down. You know, say it's Devontae Booker who's not having a good game. Well, you know, you have a different quarterback in there as well, so the whole dynamic changes around you, and the way the defense plays you is going to change around you as well. They say Booker's been slipping a little bit, so they went out and they signed Justin Forsett, who's familiar with that Kubiak-style offense. So he could be an instant guy. If you're in running back trouble, you may want to run and pick this guy up. Now, I'm not saying drop one of your steady Eddies who you've had all year. What I'm saying is if you got a guy who's dinged up or you got a spot on your roster, it doesn't hurt to have another running back, and Forsett may fill that bill for you. But all the Broncos I've got downgraded to twos in their positions. Siemian, if he plays, he's a three. But I'm talking Booker, 19th ranked overall. Emmanuel Sanders, just barely not making the wide receiver ones. He's at 13 overall. And Demaryius Thomas at 17 overall. On the other side of the ball, the one bright shining spot, or two big bright shining spots, are DeMarco Murray and Delonte Walker. These guys are definitely top five players in their positions. Mariota hasn't been doing a bad job lately. He's been throwing the ball well. And it looks like Rishard Matthews is going to be the primary target for most of those, along with Delonte Walker. So he's a wide receiver to a low-end one this week. But it should be an interesting game. It all rests on Siemian and how he reacts from coming back from the injury.
Yeah, you know, I don't lean on Siemian in this game. You know, I would say Devontae Booker, I like him for Denver. Demaryius Thomas, you know, hard to go against. He didn't do much of anything with Paxton Lynch. He had 6 catches on 10 targets for 61 yards. You got to credit the Jaguars' secondary has gotten better. Prince Amukamara knocked some passes away, as well as Jalen Ramsey. So I give them credit for some work that was done in making the receiving of Denver not look as good as it typically does. Just to take a look really quick here at Denver's injury report, Simeon's practice limited from his foot injury. He is questionable still, and Capri Bibbs is on injured reserve after showing some good signs for the Broncos against the Jaguars. So that's, you know, to me that's a sad moment to see, because he had started to kind of make a little bit of a dent, or at least get people to know his name. So to me, I feel bad about that. But Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, they're worth the look at a flex type of position. That's kind of where I threw Demaryius last week. That's where I, you know, would place him. So Devontae Booker in this one. I like the Titans. You know, the Titans have played really difficult teams, and they found ways to win, and they found ways to score. They've really wreaked havoc. So to me, you know, Derrick Henry finally was able to get himself a touchdown here, most recently against Chicago, but it was Chicago. So Derrick Henry, worth the potential flex. He's a great handcuff to DeMarco Murray, or I should say good handcuff. DeMarco, I like him too. I like Marcus Mariota and Rishard Matthews, as well as Delaney Walker. Really, you know, I side more with Tennessee in the amount of players to play in this game. But Devontae Booker, I look to him to have a better week than he did against the Jaguars. You know, he did score, but he was relatively quiet in that game. The Redskins at the Eagles, big divisional matchup in the NFC East. What do you have for this one, Mike?
Well, Kirk Cousins is playing very well lately, and Fat Rob's been toting the rock for them, Rob Kelly. Rob Kelly's a high-end running back, too, this week. But Kirk Cousins is definitely a QB1 going against an Eagles defense who has been suspect. Up until the past few weeks, the Eagles defense, the only place they showed up to was home. But recently, they don't show up on the road. But those numbers have been skewed the last couple weeks. Depends on if Jordan Reed's coming back or not. He says he's coming back from injury this week, but we'll see. Vernon Davis has been filling in okay, but definitely not a guy I'd want as a tight end one this week against the Eagles, because I don't know which Eagles defense is going to show up. Zach Ertz on the other side of the ball, he's a top 10 tight end. The Eagles are in a little bit of a trouble but in running back, but I think I heard Ryan Matthews is supposed to come back this week, and that's one thing that Washington is weak against, is the run. So if you look at Matthews, when he's in the red zone, he's a player to have. So that might be something to look at. Make sure he's got a full practice in today, but he could be the surprise player of the week. Carson Wentz hasn't been doing much. He's a low-end quarterback, too, this week. And Jordan Matthews is going to be the guy he's targeting, and he's a low-end wide receiver three this week.
Yeah, to look at this game for Washington, Jordan Reed's shoulder was a limited participant, and there's been the notion that he believes he'll play, but there's no confirmation. So, obviously, if he plays, play him, but you have to watch him, and you have to watch the injury report, which you can do very easily, and all the way up to it, you know, the morning of the games on Sunday, you could go to wakeupcalldt.com and click on the fantasy football tab. If you don't see it on the top bar, just go to the more tab on the right and click on fantasy football, and under that, Dr. Tim Whiting injury report. So go to wakeupcalldt.com, fantasy football tab, and click on the Dr. Tim Whiting injury report right below it to see where Jordan Reed's at. If he's healthy enough to go, you put him out there. It's very crazy that Philadelphia started off so strong that people thought that Carson Wentz was the best rookie quarterback in the country. Dak Prescott is now 11-1, and the Philadelphia Eagles are at the bottom of the NFC East at 5-7 after starting at the top and looking like they were commanding. That has made me distrust a lot of players on their offense and not feel good about, you know, Carson Wentz, obviously. And, you know, Paul Turner, he did okay. Zach Ertz, I guess if you got to consider anybody, it's Zach Ertz at tight end. But outside of that, I really don't like anybody on Philadelphia's roster fantasy-wise that I lean on that I trust. Kirk Cousins is a consider for me this week. It depends on your injuries. It depends on who you have. You could feel free to obviously get in touch with the show on the fantasy football page. You can write to me, and you could go to HallOfFameFantasyFootball.com for Mike as well. Kirk Cousins is a consider for me. I like Robert Kelly in this game. I like DeSean Jackson because he's playing his old team as a flex player. I like Pierre Garçon. I like Jamison Crowder, who has consistently found ways to score no matter what yards he has. And if Jordan Reed is healthy to go, I like Jordan. If not, then I consider Vernon Davis. I think that Washington's offense has a lot to offer fantasy-wise, and Philadelphia is anything but a mirror image of what they used to be at the beginning of the season. Cardinals and Dolphins, what do you have for this one?
Well, you're going to see the number one player in all fantasy football in this game, and David Johnson. If you have him, he's a must-play. You already know that if you're lucky enough to have him. But Larry Fitzgerald has been on the uptick lately. He's the number 8 overall wide receiver this week. Carson Palmer's been struggling to get it done. He's hanging on there as a low-end QB2. I got him as the number 21 quarterback this week, so hopefully have another option. And on the other side of the ball, looked like some bright moments for Tannehill recently, but, you know, he's come back down to earth a little bit. He's the number 28 overall quarterback this week, so hopefully you have a better option. But Jay Ajayi has been running the ball well. That's one thing Miami's been doing well with the offensive line there. If you have to start a Landry, so be it. But I just really think that the Cardinals' defense is going to outshine the Miami offense. And again, Miami's going to struggle. And I think when you have David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald, you're in a good position to win. So looks like some Cardinals here are the guys you're going to want to play.
We have 11 games to go after this one. So we'll run a quicker run through here for you and spend a few minutes on each game. For my side of Arizona, Carson Palmer, they're playing Miami. So as much as Miami has won games this season where, you know, you kind of shake your head and wonder why, Miami's 7-5. They have a better record than the Cardinals at 5-6-1, and this could be a low-scoring game. However, I do like Carson Palmer in this game. I want to make a quick look at the injury report and see if there's anything worth merit as it stands right now. For Miami, Devontae Parker back. He practiced Thursday in a non-contact jersey. Kenyon Drake, running back, limited on Wednesday with a knee injury. And as far as Arizona goes, John Brown, illness, questionable, limited in practice on Thursday. And that's really all they have to say on that. So I like Carson Palmer in this game. I like David Johnson in this game. How many running backs could say that they're their team's leading rusher and receiver, and not only say that, but have done that multiple times? And I say that by a game. He did it most recently against Washington and David Johnson has done it more than once this season. I would play Larry Fitzgerald in this game as well. And J.J. Nelson and Michael Floyd, I said last week, are potential flex positions. They both scored. So look to them at flex and J.J. Nelson if you got to grab somebody off the wire. Miami, you're not going to hear me say Ryan Tannehill. I really never have, outside of maybe expectation in his first year. Jay Ajayi, I would play him and put him out there. Jarvis Landry is worth the opportunity as a wide receiver too, or a flex. And Devontae Parker, though he scored, I question his ability, but I do still put him in a flex position because something tells me that if you don't play him and he's healthy enough to go this week, he might bite you. So just look out for Devontae Parker. Chargers and Panthers, what do you have for this one?
Well, I think either quarterback is a good play, but, you know, you got to go with Cam Newton. He's a top five quarterback most of the time because what he can do on the ground as well in the air. You know, he's going to be handed a ball off to Jonathan Stewart. He's a mid-range RB2 this week. Kelvin Benjamin, low-end wide receiver 2 this week. And, you know, the guy who leads and targets on that team consistently is Greg Olsen. And even though Greg Olsen hasn't had a good couple weeks, I think this is the week he comes back here. On the other side of the ball here, Melvin Gordon, he's the top five back. Can't argue with that. Tyrell Williams has been on the uptick. He's the number 11 wide receiver overall this week. And Antonio Gates, the old big guy, won't go away. He's not as fast as he can as he is, but as he has been in the past, but he's still a dynamic tight end. So there's a couple guys you can play, and this should be a mid-level scoring game, something in the high 40s, I would think.
San Diego and Carolina, for me, really quickly here to run you through your injuries for Carolina. Really nothing. You know, Luke Kulicki, obviously for their defense, is something to watch due to his concussion, but nothing offensively. As far as San Diego goes, really nothing to be concerned with either. Obviously, Danny Woodhead has continued to stay on injured reserve and is starting to get back, so prayers for him that he gets healthy. I like Phillip Rivers in this game. I mean, Seattle is not a prolific offense all the time, and more often than not, I don't believe that they're going to be. But they killed the Panthers 40-7. And that says a lot about the fact that this Panthers team, after Josh Norman, does not play defense. You lose one guy, it changes the whole system. It doesn't happen all the time. But it happened with him, just like it would happen with Michael Jordan. Phillip Rivers, I like him in this one. Melvin Gordon, I like in this one. Another guy who led receiving and rushing in the last game. And, you know, Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates are worth the look. They're good handcuffing tight ends because they're either one of them's going to score and the other one might get some yards, vice versa. So I would look to them as well. Carolina, I'm going to tell you, Cam Newton, maybe you throw him out there, but, you know, there's a lot of better options this year. And I can't keep giving him credit where credit is not due. Ted Ginn Jr. is worth it in the sense of the fact that he might be able to do some things. Greg Olsen, I do like at the opportunity and a potential Kelvin Benjamin for this one. So those are the only really, I mean, Carolina, I don't trust like I used to, but San Diego, I do like Rivers and Gordon in this game. And I like the tight end duo. Bengals at Browns. Normally this game goes up to the 30s, but the Browns are just pretty darn awful this year, Mike. So do you have anybody for Cleveland?
Yeah, I do. If you have Terrell Pryor, he's been a surprise. He's a high-end wide receiver, too. They're going to have to throw the ball to somebody. In the beginning of the year, it was Corey Coleman, but Pryor's developed into quite an athlete. You know, he isn't quite an athlete. That's why he's doing well, a wide receiver, the converted quarterback. He's been a project, but he's cashing in. Well, not yet, anyway. He's building that check now. He's going to get a big contract somewhere. It's probably not going to be Cleveland, but he's playing for a future contract as an elite wide receiver here. On the other side of the ball is where your value is, though. I think Andy Dalton's going to have a field day. He's a low-end quarterback one this week. Hill is going to be running the ball. Bernard's out, so he's the guy pretty much. So he's definitely a top running back. Brandon LaFell's the guy they're going to have to throw the ball to. Maybe it's out of Boyd, but, you know, I wouldn't count on those guys. The guy I would count on is Tyler Eifert. He's a top three tight end. So you got mostly Bengals, one Brown in this game, and might be a difficult game to watch.
Definitely not going to be the 30s type of game that we expect to typically see. Might be 17-14 or one of the lower ones in this one. For Cincinnati, I like Andy Dalton. Jeremy Hill is worth consideration now that you can never choose between Bernard and Hill, but because Bernard hasn't been playing and is obviously his injury has taken him out for an extended period of time, has made you consider Jeremy Hill, and he's been okay. I can say, I'm not going to say he's been good, I'm not going to say he's been great, but he's been okay. So Jeremy Hill is worth a look. Andy Dalton, they're playing Cleveland, for goodness sakes. Brandon LaFell, Tyler Boyd for Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's defense and special teams is worth a consideration. As far as Cleveland goes, Robert Griffin III is going to have his first game back since the first game of the season, so that'll be interesting to watch. Terrell Pryor, I just hope he passes the ball to himself and runs around the field. 6 catches for 131 yards. He was targeted 12 times in a loss to the Giants, the only healthy spot on the team. Corey Coleman hasn't been bad either in his return over the last couple weeks, so worth the consideration for those two receivers. Bears at Lions. What do you think about this one, Mike?
Well, the Bears are atrocious. The one bright spot on the Bears is Jordan Howard. He's a low-end running back, one at number 11 overall. Barkley's done a yeoman's job at quarterback, but he's a bottom tier against the Lions defense, who's been on the up-and-coming. The value's on the other side of the ball. Matt Stafford, number 8 quarterback overall. He's going to be throwing the ball out of the backfield to Theo Riddick, who is almost as dynamic as David Johnson in catching the ball out of the backfield. Theo Riddick's going to be the number one rush target as well. Golden Tate's been coming on lately as well. He should continue to flourish. Eric Ebron went away, then he came back, then he went away. Now it looks like he's back. He's number 4 overall at the tight end position against a hapless Bears team who will probably get it handed to him this week in Detroit.
Yeah, Brandon Pettigrew is expected to be released by the team, obviously. So that's something that shows you Ebron and what he's been. Over the past, you know, couple seasons, he hasn't shown a lot. But in this season, which I believe is his third, he started to get a little bit better. And, you know, his knee injuries left him questionable, so watch it. Marvin Jones, who didn't play last week at wide receiver for Detroit, has a quad injury that's still questionable, so I'd watch that as well. Dwayne Washington, ankle injury, has left him questionable, and Theo Riddick with a wrist injury, but Theo's played through his questionable status without having that probable status anymore. There's the players that are questionable that you know are going to play 90% of the time, and then there's the guys where if they're questionable, they might as well be doubtful. So just make sure you're watching the injury report. WakeUpCallDT.com, fantasy tab, Dr. Tim Whiting injury report. Marquise Wilson on Chicago's side, he has a groin injury. That's something to watch because that is a nagging injury that will stick with you. So Chicago, obviously, Matt Barkley not doing a lot of good there. Jordan Howard is the guy. That's the only guy that I feel comfortable telling you to play. He had 3 touchdowns when they trounced San Francisco most recently. So Cameron Meredith, you could take a look at him. He's not bad to potentially put out there. Every quarterback has a receiver, though, and Josh Bellamy, who's questionable to play, has been the one for Matt Barkley. So Bellamy, I wouldn't say play him, I would say watch. But Cameron Meredith and Jordan Howard, thank goodness for Jordan Howard for Chicago's sake. Matt Stafford on Detroit's side, I like him, and I don't like Detroit's rushing right now. It's been all over the place. I'm not a big fan of Golden Tate, but in this game, he could be a good flex, and Anquan Boldin, Eric Ebron, just because of the fact that they're playing Chicago, and they're playing in Detroit. Texans at the Colts, what do you have for this one?
Well, I like Andrew Luck. I think this is finally a game where he can do something at home here. Hopefully he's fully healthy. I got him as the number 2 quarterback overall. Frank Gore slipping in at running back 12 this week. T.Y. Hilton, number 7 overall on the wide receivers. And Dante Moncrief is a wide receiver, too. I don't think the Texans are going to be able to hang with the Colts, although the Texans do have a pretty good defense when they show up. I don't think Luck's going to be able to just pick them apart. But on the other side of the ball, Brock Osweiler is this guy you're probably not going to want to start, number 24 overall quarterback this week. Lamar Miller, number 23 overall running back this week. Although he should get some ground game and should even score a touchdown, he's a low-end running back too. And Nuke Hopkins has been nowhere this year, and I'm hoping he can hold up a status as a wide receiver 3 because the Indianapolis defense can be suspect.
Yeah, on Houston's side, Lamar Miller, the running back, ankle rib injury has left him as questionable. Andrew Luck, right shoulder, remained limited at practice, and he remains questionable for the game. Those are the two big ones. you'd expect both of these teams to play up for the game, which can help you fantasy-wise, because in reality, the winner is going to be the head of the AFC South this late in the season, in Week 14. They're both 6-6. Whoever wins takes that first place outright for the time being. I would consider Andrew Luck in this game. I think he's good enough to play against Houston because of the fact that it's Houston, and Houston, I think, looks good, but isn't as good as they may look. Dwayne Allen, I like Dwayne Allen. T.Y. Hilton as well. Frank Gore, not a bad play for you. So these are all good looks for the Indianapolis Colts. And Dante Moncrief, he might be third or fourth yards-wise on that stat sheet at the end of the game for the Colts, but I've told you week in and week out, he scores points. He gets in the end zone. Will Fuller, not a bad play in this game. DeAndre Hopkins, worth the look as well. But DeAndre's been underperforming, as Mike said, and that's really how I look at it. I do look for these teams to potentially get to the late 20s and early 30s in the game here because of the fact that, high 20s, low 30s, because of the fact that it is a big divisional matchup that will decide first place. Vikings at the Jaguars, what do you have for this?
Well, this is an interesting matchup for both teams here, and I think that if you're in the playoffs and Adrian Peterson is available, be on the lookout for this situation. If the Vikings win, they'll probably make the playoffs, and if the Vikings win, they're going to reinstate Adrian Peterson. If they don't make the playoffs, they're not. So in fantasy football, if you're not 2 weeks ahead, you're 1 week behind. So if you have room now and he's available, stash him. He's probably not, but not worth, it's something worth taking a look at. But on the field this week, there's not a lot of bright spots on either side of the ball, unfortunately. Running the game, passing the ball, throwing the ball, receiving the ball. The only guy that I would start in this game is Kyle Rudolph, who's probably going to pick up a touchdown. But other than that, I would stay away from most of the players in this game if I can.
Yeah, and as Mike said for Minnesota, Adrian said that he's probably not going to come back if they lose their next two games. So that's something to obviously watch if you're trying to, like Mike said, stay one step ahead. For the Jaguars, Denard Robinson ankle missed practice on Thursday. Hasn't been that good. Hamstring injury for Chris Ivory, still nagging him, and Allen Hurns, the backup Julius Thomas. A lot of questionables for the Jaguars, who had even more injuries during the game. It's Minnesota-Jacksonville. This game could be 13-10, 12-13. Jesus knows. The Jaguars are 0-5 at home. They got two more chances to win a game at home. This is one of them. I would like to think that this is the one that they would win, but I've also thought that they could do things this year that they haven't. So if I'm going to pick anybody to put out there, Kyle Rudolph and Stephon Diggs for the Minnesota Vikings. And for the Jaguars, I would consider Chris Ivory if he's healthy. Neil Sterling and Marquise Lee aren't bad flex positions if you need someone to take a roster spot for you this week. Jets at the Niners. What do you think about this one?
Well, I think if you have either one of these quarterbacks, you're banging your head up against the wall. I don't think anybody's that petty, but you never know with deep leagues and multi-quarterbacks. Colin Kaepernick's had his bright spots, got benched again. But, Carlos Hyde's been a steady Eddie for them when he's been okay to get on the field when he's not been injured. So that's the guy you want to start. Matt Forte, number 8 overall running back this week. And they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody on the Jets, and it's going to be Brandon Marshall. He's a low-end wide receiver, too, this week, but not a lot to write home about in this game.
No, this game, it's just, well, I said it. Even though Cleveland is 0-12, what are the Niners right now? 1-11. And I said the Niners had the worst offense in the country, even worse than the Cleveland Browns. Argue the point. At least Cleveland has Terrell Pryor. At least Cleveland has Corey Coleman. The Niners don't have anything. The Niners have no hope of a quarterback. They went into the season with two quarterbacks that were not starting quarterbacks in Gabbard and Colin Kaepernick. So there is really no hope for that. Carlos Hyde's playing the Jets. So that makes me say Carlos Hyde. When you look at the injuries for either one of these teams right now, very quickly, the Jets, Kyrie Robinson is out. Their running back, Jalen Marshall, is questionable, not Brandon Marshall. So make a note of that. For San Fran, Sean Drawn was limited, but he's obviously the backup to Carlos Hyde. I like Carlos Hyde in this game because he's playing the Jets defense. That's all I have to say about San Francisco. And, at this point in the season, to pick any one of them, is, you know, feels like going out on a limb, but pretty good. The Jets are in their same issues with quarterbacks. I like Matt Forte in this game because he's going to run it and do some good work. Brandon Marshall is a possibility as well. And Quincy Enunwa, because the Jets have to throw to somebody, and they're playing a disgustingly terrible Niners team that, if not for Cleveland, would be the worst team in the country. But I stick by what I said in the preseason. The Niners are the worst offensive team in the nation. Saints at the Buccaneers, what do you have for this?
I like this game a lot. If you're playing daily fantasy football, there's a stack here that you're probably going to be able to accomplish. The stack is when you take the wide receiver and the running back, a wide receiver and a quarterback from a team, and you double down every time they score touchdowns. This is going to bode well for Jameis Winston and Mike Evans. Mike Evans, the number one targeted receiver in the NFL, against a weak secondary of the New Orleans Saints. And then on the other side of the ball, Drew Brees, who's the number one quarterback overall this week, is going to have to keep up the pace. So there should be fantasy points galore in this game. On the receiving end, on the Saints, if Thomas plays, he's been a rookie sensation this year. He's got a problem with his foot or his toe. If he plays, you want to play him. But if Brandon Cooks is a guy to consider, he's a low-end running wide receiver too this week. And back on the Bucs side, if you're looking for a tight end, if you've been scrambling because of the Gronk injury, if you don't have Cameron Great, I don't know what's wrong with you, but he's a number six tight end this week. So Doug Martin should fill in well for you if you need a running back two this week. And back on the other side of the ball with the Saints, Mark Ingram's been dinged up, and they're still suspects. So watch the injury report. Watch for practice today. As long as he's completed some sort of practice today, he'll be good to go. But if he doesn't, and it looks like he might sit, it might be a game-time decision, I think Tim Hightower is going to be a dynamic play this week on the team for you, especially in daily fantasy.
Yeah, you're definitely going to watch that out. That's what Mike just brought it up. Michael Thomas, foot, absent for practice on Thursday. Mark Ingram's toe and knee, non-participant in practice on Thursday as well. So you have to watch those two big guys for the New Orleans Saints. Outside of that, in this game, it's Saints-Bucks. It's in Tampa. Tampa's not a bad team this year. They're 7-5. They're one of the positive things besides Atlanta's. If it wasn't for Atlanta's offense and what New Orleans can do at times, because New Orleans doesn't play much defense, Tampa would be that team to watch. And they've kind of flown under the radar, which I'm sure they love. Drew Brees, I like him in this game. I like Tim Hightower. I consider Mark Ingram, depending on his health, and Michael Thomas, depending on his health. Kobe Fleener worth the play, and Brandon Cooks also worth a potential nod in this game as well to consider. I lean more on the side of Kobe Fleener receiving-wise and Michael Thomas, but Brandon Cooks, not a bad option. For Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston, who would have thunk it? Guy's doing well. Jacquizz Rodgers, if he's healthy and good to go, he's an option for you to run the ball. Cameron Brate, happy I took a chance on him weeks ago. And obviously, even though Mike Evans is coming off probably his worst game of the season, he is definitely worth the look against a New Orleans team that only has two phases, special teams and offense. They don't have a defensive unit, so that's something to note and be ready. This is going to be a good scoring game, I hope. Falcons at Rams, this will be a good scoring game on one side. What do you think about this one, Mike?
Yeah, well, this smells a lot like Pittsburgh and Buffalo, whereas if you have Falcons, play them, and if you have Rams, don't. Matt Ryan's a low-end quarterback one this week. Devonta Freeman is at 15 on running back this week, only because he's losing some touches to the dynamic Tevin Coleman at 28. Julio Jones is the guy from the Falcons you're going to definitely play, though. What a receiver this guy is. He's the number four overall receiver this week. On the other side of the ball, not playing golf. Gurley's the number 20 running back this week. And Kenny Britt, he's been the one bright spot at receiving for the Rams this year. I got him checking in at 19 as receiver.
Yeah, Mohamed Sanu and Julio Jones, watch them both. Groin injury and toe injury, respectively. And they're both questionable, not participating in Thursday's practice this week. So just watch on those. I like Matt Ryan in this game. Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, good handcuffs. Freeman had two touchdowns even though his carries are going down. So I still like Freeman a little bit more than Coleman. Taylor Gabriel is worth an opportunity potentially for you in a flex position for the Atlanta Falcons. For the Rams, Todd Gurley is just awful this year. And Mike and I have tried and tried to tell you that you gotta believe, but I have all but lost my complete belief in Todd Gurley this year. Kenny Britt is really the only one that I would say, you know what, I feel relatively comfortable with. Seattle Packers, what do you have for this one?
Yeah, I like this game a lot. Now, the weather is going to depend on what happens in this game, but there should be some fantasy points coming out of this game. You have Aaron Rodgers. He's been on fire lately. He's the number one quarterback past couple weeks. Aaron Rodgers, number six overall this week. The problem is they don't have anybody to run the ball. The Starks experiment hasn't worked out. They put Ty Montgomery back there again. So they're going to primarily throw the ball. They're going to have to keep teams honest, and they are going to run the ball. And they're going to throw those short passes to Ty Montgomery out of the backfield as well. But Jordy Nelson's the number one receiving option there. He checks in at number five wide receiver this week. And Devontae Adams is the number 22 wide receiver this week. On the other side of the ball, Russell Wilson, high-end QB2 this week. Thomas Rawls, mid-range running back 2 this week. And Doug Baldwin, he sneaks in at a low-end wide receiver 1. But their top option lately for Russell Wilson, who, by the way, is looking more mobile and looking more injury-free, which could be key against the Green Bay defense that's been suffering at the linebacker position. Jimmy Graham's the guy. He's a number one overall tight end this week, so I don't have to tell you to play Jimmy Graham. He's a must-play.
Yeah, you know, looking at where things stand right now, where they stack up at this point for this game, Paul Richardson, hamstring injury left, it leaves him questionable for Seattle. Outside of that, wide receiver, really, I mean, this is open. Seattle's coming off a game where they smacked Carolina for smacking them in the playoffs not too long ago. I like Russell Wilson in this matchup. Thomas Rawls, you know, I don't know if we could be confident in another 106-yard game on the ground, but 2 touchdowns and finally looks like the Thomas Rawls I've been begging for since last season when he came out of Central Michigan. And Jimmy Graham in this one, they're all players that I think are worthy of play. Seattle's defense and special teams, potentially. Aaron Rodgers in this game, although I do think it could be high scoring. Aaron Rodgers, if he's good enough to go. Ty Montgomery is a good flex to throw out there in this one. Christine Michael's going to be playing against his Seattle Seahawks, who, just like a bad relationship, call on him when they need him, but let him go elsewhere at different times. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, all players that I feel comfortable with. Even though Devontae had a bad week last week, him and Jordy are the ones I like the most in receiving for Green Bay. Sunday Night Football, Cowboys, Giants. What do you have for this one?
Yeah, I think both quarterbacks are about equal in this one. Both of them are high-end QB2s in this one. The difference is the running game. The running game for Dallas is stellar with Zeke Elliott. He's the number 3 overall running back this week. Dez Bryant, number 9 overall wide receiver. And then going back to the Giants side, they got a receiver of their own in ODB, who's the number 3 overall receiver this week. Rashad Jennings feeling a little heat coming from Paul Perkins recently. He's turned it on, but I don't look for him to have a stellar game. He's the number 27 overall running back this week. Jason Witten, popular name, Pro Bowl player, great athlete, great team player, has not been getting it done on the fantasy side of the ball, though, so that's a shame.
Yeah, Darren McFadden's going to be out for the Cowboys. Dwayne Harris, practice limited wide receiver for the Giants. Larry Donnell missed Thursday's practice. He's questionable. Justin Pugh, you got to watch this, former Syracuse player. He's a guard on the offensive line, and his injury obviously affects the rushing game that hasn't been that great for the Giants either way. Dak Prescott, quarterback 2 this week. If you got him, though, he still is worthy of play. It just depends on who you have. Do you have him and Russell Wilson? Do you have him and Robert Griffin III? So a big difference. Ezekiel Elliott worth the play in this one. Dez Bryant, Cole Beasley, I like them. And Jason Witten is an opportunity to look at as well. Eli Manning usually plays up for these games, but he throws interceptions. So he, at best for me, is a consider. And Odell Beckham Jr., not bad. Rashad Jennings, if you need a flex, but he's a low flex for me. And Sterling Shepard is an option in this game. Final game that we got for this week of fantasy football, week 14, Ravens at the Patriots, a rematch of two teams that love to hate each other. What do you think about this one?
Well, this should be all Patriots. You know, I know they're missing Gronk, but the Patriots seem to somehow always find a way to get it done. Tom Brady, number 12 overall quarterback this week, a little bit of a downgrade because the Ravens defense has been coming on, but LeGarrette Blount, high-end running back 3 this week. Again, that tight end this week. And on the Ravens side of the ball, that Patriots defense is just going to be too tough. I don't know if I'd play anybody. Maybe in a multi-quarterback league, you play Flacco for some yardage. Terrence West, number 30 overall running back this week. And Steve Smith, number 26 overall wide receiver for the Ravens this week.
Well, I want to give Bill Belichick credit because he actually minimized his injury report. Martellus Bennett is questionable with ankle and shoulder injury, and obviously Gronk is out. As far as Baltimore goes, super quick here, Baltimore, really nothing to look at as far as anything worrisome on the injury report. Tom Brady in this game, LeGarrette Blount, I like them. Julian Edelman and Malcolm Mitchell. Chris Hogan as a potential flex if you need somebody deep in here. Joe Flacco, I'm not going to go against him in this game, but he's a quarterback too. And Kenneth Dixon, not too bad. Terrence West, they're good handcuffs. Brashad Perriman or Dennis Pitta are worth a flex look as well. Mike, Hall of Fame FantasyFootball.com. As always, I appreciate it, and thank you so much for being a part of fantasy football coverage here on Wake Up Call.
Awesome. Thank you, Dan. I'll talk to you next time.
All right, sounds good. That coming from Mike Sofka. I want to thank everybody in the Morning Menu, proudly presented by the Market Diner. That was a part of the show. Syracuse alum Otis Hill, as well as Ryan Blackwell. And I want to put a special thanks out to Mike Sofka for fantasy football. This has been Friday's show at the beginning of December. Have yourself a phenomenal weekend. I have some early Christmas treats for my wife that I am more than excited to jump off the air and share with her. If there's anything that I love better than doing radio, which isn't much, it's that woman that is by my side. Have a great week, and I'll talk with you very soon. WakeUpCallDT.com.